Well, as long as Shelly's ready. All right, good morning. I'll call to order our regular scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting for this Tuesday, August 16th, 2016, and ask if everybody please join the board as we honor America with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, thank you. Good morning. First item on our agenda, as always, is public comment number one. It's an opportunity for members of the public to comment on, to address topics on today's agenda. We have no Stover fires that I know of. Is there anything else that we need to talk about today? All right. Seeing no one moving to the microphone, we'll go to consideration of minutes from both August 2nd and August 9th.
Move to approve.
Second.
Any additions, corrections, or notations? Chitty.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Personnel actions, board as listed.
Move approval.
Second.
Clinton.
Aye.
Chitty.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Consent agenda, board, please add road closures 1709 and 1710. Please add utility permit 1710, 1711. Please pull for discussion item number four, which is consideration of resolution 1718. And please pull for a later date item number nine, which is consideration of the Economic Development Group bylaws. And we're going to deal with that at a new meeting when that group has had a chance to really finalize these things.
Okay. Move approval with no changes on the consent agenda.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Clinton.
Aye.
Chief.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Consent agenda passes. That takes us to number four on the consent agenda. Consideration of resolution 1718 setting a date and time for public hearing on August 23rd, 2016 for the first consideration of ordinance number 244 for the purpose of prohibiting the use of electronic smoking devices in public places, providing a penalty and establishing an effective date. We have a few people here today that would like to speak to this. I think it's completely appropriate. Marty, especially with you up here with us now, this is something that we delved into. Has it been a year ago? That we started working on a year ago. This has now gone through the Board of Health twice. And so we'd love to get some comments on it today. Denise, we'll just have you come up.
Good morning.
All right.
Yeah. Ooh.
Safer.
There we go. Thank you. Whoops. Beauty is those square microphones are supposed to pick you up even if you sit there.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Kevin, and I represent the Stroud County Prevention Policy Board. I also have with me today members of the Stroud County Prevention Policy Board and the ISU Health Promotion Club. So to give you just a little bit of background, the summer of 2013, the Prevention Policy Board looked at a number of public health issues, and one of them at that time was the emergence of vaping devices, electronic cigarettes. They come under a variety of titles. And the fact that if you were 6 years old, you could buy one in the state of Iowa. So that was a concern, and Prevention Policy Board worked with county attorney to look at how we might create an ordinance in the Story County. In the meantime, it was picked up by the legislature, and as of July 2014, that was the state law. So they met again in August of 2014 and said, okay, the next step is probably banning their use in public spaces, much like what we do with cigarettes, in part because we felt like their appearance in public really sent a message to young people about, you know, the possibility of renormalizing tobacco use. So we were concerned about that. And there was an emerging body of information coming out about the health effects that they had on both the user and bystander. So at that point, we went to the Board of Health in October of that year after talking with a number of other states, and at that point, about 200 cities in the United States that had a similar ban, asking them, you know, what language did they use, had they had any problems with it, had anybody pushed back on that, and felt like that was that have been very successful in 4 states and 200 cities. The Board of Health felt at that time that what we needed to do was do that in Ames first, because that was the larger population body. And so the Health Promotion Club did a survey on campus and through Ames with about 600 people, and the Mayor's Youth Committee at Ames High with staff and students also did a survey just trying to test the waters on if people would be supportive of a county ordinance, and you have the results of those two surveys. So we surveyed a little over 1,200 people in mostly Ames at that point. They took that information forward to City Council, to Park and Rec, to what was then a government and student body. Government and student body passed it on first go around, and then it went to Faculty Senate, and that passed in January of, and I think that went into effect totally this spring, or in January, or last fall anyway. The City of Ames did pass it in January, and in the meantime, the County Board of Supervisors passed that for county property as of last summer. So that's where that stands. So now Prevention Policy Board is coming back to the Board of Health, or has come back to the Board of Health and said, okay, we have Ames taken care of. Can we go forward with this work throughout the county? No other county in the state has this. Iowa City was the first city to have it, and they are working town by town in Johnson County. They've been very helpful in telling us where the loopholes have been and the potholes have been, and they have found that sort of a difficult process and confusing for people to not just have it one county ordinance, but piecemealing it that way. So, Prevention Policy Board, Iowa State Health Promotion Club, and the Mayor's Youth Committee are petitioning, or would like to petition to have this be a countywide ban throughout all of Story County, so that sort of one size fits all. And basically, it would be a ban in public spaces. So any place that the Smoke-Free Air Act applies, the Iowa Smoke-Free Air Act, is how that would apply to the county. And that is the policy that the City of Ames mirrored their ordinance after. So it would be one consistent ordinance throughout the county.
And so it just treats vaping devices in the same way we currently treat tobacco products.
Basically no difference.
Marty, questions?
So that's the long, short
now,
story.
Now, just to be clear, we're not passing anything
right
today. What we're doing today is talking about setting the public hearing date. Denise can't be here because classes start back for the public hearing date. So I wanted to make sure that you had an opportunity to speak with her as we move ahead on this thing.
No, it was just, I got the opportunity here listening to the Board of Health meeting last week to kind of get the, as the Board was moving it back and forth amongst themselves, to what, you know, adoption. I'm glad to see Stewart County wants to be out there and go first. So just it's a common sense thing.
Yeah. What I would ask is those of you that are available to come, assuming we set this for next week, come next week and speak to it again when we're actually considering the ordinance. And Denise, we sure appreciate your work on this. Any other questions for Denise? Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, so consideration of Resolution 1718 setting the date and time, which would be next week.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Move that we pass Resolution 1718 just to set the date and time for the public hearing for August 23rd, 2016, for first consideration of Ordinance 244.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Further discussion? Clinton.
Aye.
Chief.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. It passes. Thank you. Public hearing items. Today we do have...
Do we need a motion on the one that we deferred for a later date?
I think it's just pulled from the agenda. When it comes back, we'll deal with it. Shelley, we need to do anything about that?
I would like you to go ahead and move a motion for a later date.
Okay. So Wayne, what I would like to see here, if you guys are comfortable with it, is defer this until the Story County Economic Development Group has an opportunity to formally make a recommendation.
I would move that we would defer the consideration of updated Story County Economic Development Policy until the Economic Group has had an opportunity to review this and set a date for this to come back before us. So we have not actually set a date, so we don't know when they will meet. Is that correct, Jennifer, yet? Not Jennifer.
Yeah, Jennifer's back then.
We don't know when. We don't have a date in mind as yet, so you just want to wait until you notify us and then bring it back.
Okay.
Okay. Just so that we're clear for Shelley's notes. Okay.
We don't have a date for the Story County Economic. It's in the fall. You guys will meet again in the fall, won't you? October?
Yeah. October. Okay.
All right. Well, then I second it.
Yeah. Okay.
Further discussion. Clinton?
Aye.
Chief?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Passes.
Okay.
Public hearing items. Consideration, first consideration of ordinance number 243, amending ordinance 241, renaming a portion of unincorporated Story County from I think it means from Maple Avenue to West Maple Avenue. And Jerry Moore.
Good morning.
Hi there.
As you said, this is a public hearing for an ordinance requesting a street name only change, not address change, from Maple Avenue to West Maple Avenue, and it includes just the unincorporated portion of that road west of the city of Nevada's corporate limits, west out to 600 Avenue. A little bit of background. This is partly in response to the city of Nevada's plan to work on their logistics, public safety. They also, through encouragement of the E911 board, last July passed a resolution that affected several streets in the city to, again, improve logistics, public safety. And for the most part, if you look at First Street, and I've got a map that shows you this, several of the roads west of First Street, the street name designation was changed to West, and then on the east side of First, it was changed to East. And they also, at the same time, changed some road names, street names, south of B Avenue, and gave it a south in their description, in their name. So all this was took place last summer. The Planning Department is aware of two instances where there was some confusion with regard to this road in response time with emergency responders. One of them involved the Flummerfeld property, which is inside the city of Nevada, and another one dealt with a private dwelling, which that prompted us to get this on the board's agenda for action. There was some delay in responding to this property because of the current designation of that street. So it affects like 20 parcels. Three of those are dwellings. One of them is a business, Central Iowa Farm Service, Inc. If you look at the map, you can see the yellow line. That represents the First Street. So, again, west of First Street, there were several streets that were changed with the city's resolution. One of those happens to be Maple, which is now West Maple, west of that north.
What is it east of it?
East is... It's actually Maple.
Okay, so we got Maple, West Maple, Maple, if you're driving on that street right now.
Right. So west of that yellow line, it's West Maple to the corporate limits, and then from the corporate limits, it's Maple, which is part of the confusion and why it really needs to be addressed. This shows you the parcels that are affected. The black and white line represents the portion of the road that's in the unincorporated area. Again, about 17 parcels, three of those being dwellings, one business. This one shows just the span from red arrow to red arrow. It's about a 1.5-mile stretch. Site photos, we're looking north at 30. This is 3rd. There's the intersection. That street sign is actually in the city. That one needs to be changed by the city. Flummerfeld property on the north side. Again, that's inside the city limits. And again, this is the property that was that contacted us with regard to the confusion that occurred. 610th would be the north-south road west of the corporate limits.
You got the silver fire in the background.
Yeah. Gravel road. And then this is the farthest west extent, 600th Avenue in Maple. So basically we're changing, the county would be changing two street signs. There's two plates on each sign. I'm told that they're $20 a piece, so it's an $80 cost. This is something that we budget for in our department's budget. And again, that's just looking back to the east. We did send notices to all the property owners within along that road. August 5, did not receive any responses back. Did put a resolution 17-16 on the agenda for August 9, which the board approved setting the hearing for today. And we did notify via email emergency response staff, City of Nevada, county staff, Story County Medical Center on August 5. We also interagency emailed the information August 8th, and again received no responses back from any of those, nor any responses back from the property owners. Which brings us to action. Again, this is a public hearing, it's an ordinance. This is the first consideration, and so we're recommending approval of the first consideration and then to set up second consideration for Tuesday next week, August 23, and then tentatively the third and last consideration, August 30th.
A couple things. One, it seems to me that this is a natural action for a county to take when one of our municipalities grows, changes names, does some things. I know, Wayne, I know we did it down in Huxley, I want to say with Oak Street, a few years ago. I think this doesn't make sense to me that we would have Maple, West Maple, and then Maple again. I think it's confusing. I know we got a request from Ames and some work they're doing north of town. It just seems to me that the county should be the one in a position to try to alleviate confusion wherever we can.
It's the same road.
It's the same road, and it just makes sense that there would be some kind of linear flow to the name of a road.
Right, and we're hoping with this change that the issues that occurred in the past won't happen in the future.
Questions for Jerry?
So with a tentative approval on the 30th, how long for the signage reflects this change?
Usually within 30 days, those changes can be made on the actual signs themselves.
Mm-hmm. Have we mentioned in Nevada that they need to change one of their signs?
It will be brought to their attention.
Okay. Now.
Good idea.
Other questions before I open the public hearing? All right, let's go ahead and open the public hearing, see if there's anyone wishing to comment or address any concerns with our first consideration of Ordinance 243. Seeing no one, I'll close the public hearing and turn to the board for action.
Move on first consideration of ordinance number 243 and number 241, which would be the changing of the street name, and set the second hearing for August 23rd.
Second.
We have a motion and a second on first consideration of 243, which amends ordinance 241. Further discussion. Clinton.
Aye.
Chief.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. We'll see you again next week on this.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you,
Jerry. We'll have to pass on Lisa for a minute.
You might. Let me get the next member of our agenda.
Yeah, she was probably talking to him.
Agenda's consideration of resolution 1717 fund balance resolution. We moved too fast for you this morning, didn't we?
You did, yeah. We were like, oh, we have time. Let's get this taken care of. I guess we didn't.
All right, tell me what we got in front of us on 1717.
Okay, on August last Friday, a week ago Friday, the CLP building on Hazel was sold to Optime. The closing happened, and the county got a check for the building sale in the amount of $889,230. Those dollars went into the general fund. That's the fund that paid for the building, so it went into sale of fixed assets. What I have in front of you is a request to go ahead and assign those fund balance in the general fund until we actually determine a project to transfer the money to capital projects. We don't want to do that. But if we assign it right now in the general fund, then you have the ability to transfer it to capital projects when it's determined how it's going to be used.
Yeah, so this is intended to recognize that the money to build that building was spent out of the general fund. It was obviously spent on a building in Story County, and trying to recognize that those dollars should continue to be used for our buildings. So this would be something that the board would do. The board could also undo it, right? It would just
correct.
Assign
it's an assignment. Yes. There's different levels. You can there's restrictions. There's commitments. There's assignments. The next level after an assignment is a commitment, and a commitment takes a board action to uncommit it.
Right. So this is intended as an acknowledgement that we intend to utilize these funds on some kind of building project in the future, but not specifically naming any project.
Right.
Correct.
Questions for Lisa?
Huh? No. That's a smooth way of doing it, and we don't get these very often.
I know.
Okay. I would move Resolution 1717, Fund Balance Resolution, as submitted.
Second. Motion second. Further discussion. Clinton?
Aye.
Chief?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Resolution 1717 passes. Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you.
No agency reports. Departmental reports. We have conservation. Mike Cox here today.
Morning, Mr. Cox.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hey. First off, chat a little bit about the research park. Not a lot has happened there. Probably since our last report, but you know now that we do have a contract signed with an engineer to do our preliminary engineering and carry some of the project engineering through to final design. That will be done in a three-phase system, and we have a kickoff meeting for that scheduled for this Friday. So we're moving forward with that. We're waiting on property transfers from the research park to happen anytime now. So that has already been approved by the supervisors, the acceptance of those parcels. Also had some continuing discussion with the university on the trail connection. It's not really illustrated in this diagram, but you see, I guess off the left side of this diagram, it shows a yellow line there. It says, or arrow, it says 2R38. We've got, like I said, some discussion with the university, and we're kind of narrowing down the alignment options for that. We will go down the old rail right away, which is what's illustrated on this image. That's where the yellow arrow is. We've got some verbal agreements with all of the affected landowners there to utilize that old rail right away, and in one case to not utilize the rail right away, but actually go out onto neighboring property to the west, and that's Hunzinger's development. And so we continue to work through that, but like I said, we've got all of the commitments from the landowners to use that alignment. From there, we'll get down to 260th, and then we'll continue on to the west on the north side of 260th, and look at a couple options there as far as from 260th moving south. And we'll either carry it all the way over to R38, or we may also look at an option of going south before we get to R38. So.
Is now the time for you to mention to the board that you and I had a meeting with City Manager Range, Steve Shanker, and Keith Abrams, or is that later in your report?
Actually, it wasn't in my report.
Oh, so now is a good time.
We can do that now. So, in addition to this, I guess looking at the city and the trail connectivity with the city, as Chair Sanders mentioned, we did meet with Steve Shanker, City Manager of Ames, and Keith Abraham, their Parks and Rec Director, two weeks ago, and discussed kind of our future, our vision for connectivity with the city and getting trail users to give them options for getting out of town. We discussed three primary routes, this being one of them. Another one is north from Ames along the Skunk River, and then the third being south from Ames along the Skunk River. So all of those were discussed, and I think conceptually there's broad support for moving in that direction. So,
in your time, so how long have you been with the county now?
5 years.
5 years. Time flies, and we're glad to have you. In your time, has there ever been a time that you felt like conservation, the city of Ames, and Iowa State were working more closely together than we are right now?
No, and in many arenas. So yes, no, that's very appreciated by the Conservation Board, and I think that's just I think all of those entities are on the same page for community improvements, community betterment, and this just being one example. So,
outstanding. Yeah. So before we leave this slide, tell me about, so as I look at this, I feel like, Mike, that we've approved the $1.5 million, which gets us started, but it's on the northern part of that project. Tell me about the different colors that are in the county park. The green, I see a light blue up on the far right-hand side. I assume some of the blues are ponds.
And I just kind of pulled this slide that I didn't from a previous presentation. I'm not sure what that light blue represents on the top side, but okay. In essence... So the ivory color, the tan color here, that would be prairie areas, so native vegetation in those areas. Green is the riparian area, so that's a wooded area. The stream, which, boy, my eyes aren't the best. It doesn't look like that's illustrated here. The stream, two streams on the property. One comes from the culvert under University right here and continues this way until it gets to right about here, and then it goes out this way. The other one comes from under a culvert right here at a retention basin in the state, and then they join right about here.
And now, didn't we get an agreement with Ames as far as the culvert at East, on University Avenue? I know we brought that to their attention, that this might need some looking at as we move forward or not. Do you know where we stand on that yet? On who's ultimately going to be responsible for that?
I'm not sure where we stand on that right now. This culvert right here?
Right.
I think that we'll take a look at, through our design process, we'll take a look at both of these culverts. These culverts really, in essence, set the grade for what can and can't be done with the stream and in the park. And there's been some early discussion about, well, what else could we do here as far as conservation practices go to maybe slow some water or maybe not necessarily slow some water, but divert some water out of that stream into say, a vegetated buffer or another way of treating that water other than just to have it flow down the stream. Right. So that's been discussed. But no, I think that's still an active discussion.
Okay. All
right. And then there's a part of a stream that now is owned by Workiva, as I understand it. But do we have some kind of agreement with Workiva?
So this stream right here, like I said, comes from this retention basin for this residential development. Comes under the road, and then from the road to right about here is owned by Workiva. From this point over to here is owned by the research park. Mm-hmm. We have an agreement with the research park to give us easement for stream improvements on this section here. And we have had some discussions with just some verbal discussions with Workiva about work on this section as well. So on this section we do have the formal easement, so we have control of that stream in this section, and on this section we have some commitments from Workiva to work with us on improvements.
But nothing formalized?
No.
Okay.
To finish answering your question then, these were the properties that the research park just acquired, and so I'm not sure why they're blue on here, but that there's two residences that we're now have a lease agreement on, and as soon as that property transfers, then we'll own those residences. One is right here, and the other one is right here. These blue areas here represent bioretention cells or wetlands. This is the required retention basin for their stormwater permits. Instead of having a kind of a cookie cutter retention basin, we worked with the research park and got them to develop a 3-stage wetland here. And so that will be, all of that will be part of the green belt, part of the park. So the southern boundary of the park area is this right here. Northern boundary is right here.
Now, Mike, as I listen to you and I see the schematic drawings, the thought that comes to mind, and whether or not we've talked about this yet at the conservation or within, maybe we are not yet to that point, but are you foreseeing at some point some type of signage that's going to identify the various changes that were taking place, which will kind of educate the public a little bit about the variations that they're going to experience as they're walking along or just out in this area?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so we'll have a few different types of signage. We'll have that interpretive signage, or that educational signage, and then we'll also have wayfinding signs for trail directions, etc. So there'll be both of those, absolutely.
Yeah, so I just think it's important to underscore this is property that's going to end up being owned by Story County. It's a park that's going to be developed and maintained by Story County Conservation. And my expectation is that this is going to be the county park where we touch more of our residents than any of our other parks. So I'm really, really excited about what we're doing. Mike, spend just a minute on the two southern areas that are in this drawing that I think are part of future development plan, but not part of this original.
Sure. These areas right here. Conceptually, yes, those would be green belts as well, and so the research park has the intention of asking us to accept those parcels in the future. So yes, if there's some potential to do more resource work there, more stormwater illustration work, demonstration work, trails throughout as well on both of those parcels also.
So but nothing that the county has committed to on these projects.
We have not committed to anything on those parcels. So just to, I guess, reiterate what you mentioned there, Rick, we went through a pretty exhaustive search for engineers or consultants on this project, and we had several proposals from different firms. Had a tremendous review group that met and interviewed those firms and with experts from the state on there and the university and the city was all involved with that. And so we're very appreciative of that. We selected Scheid Hattery, which now we have the contract with them. They reached out to a number of firms to work as sub-consultants under them. And some of those firms have done work in very large projects. There's an environmental firm that's done extensive work on river ecology, stream work, resource work. There's a park design firm that's done work in Central Park, as an example. There's, so we're really, really pleased with the firms, and like I said, this Friday will be our start to the project, kind of our kickoff, and where we'll discuss kind of our scope and parameters and our goals, which we've spoke about all throughout this project. But just like you said, Rick, this is a beautiful opportunity to really affect a lot of people and to illustrate how commercial development can go hand in hand with resource protection, stormwater improvements, stormwater protection, green infrastructure, low impact development, etc. And it can all just be hand in hand, and so that's our intention.
And fair to say that this project is unlike anything that's been attempted in the state of Iowa, and probably unlike anything that's been attempted in the Midwest.
Correct.
Also fair to say that once completed, this should put Story County at least among the leaders of counties in addressing water quality issues?
Absolutely.
And Mike, and I'll probably mention it later in the report, but this ties in directly with one of the IFAC of Jeff supervisors objectives as we begin to focus on water quality and water management. One of the things that I want you and your department to be thinking about, and maybe also working with Leanne on this, NACO has innovation awards that is recognizes counties for unique, innovative ideas and things of this nature. I would like to have you request that you consider looking at these, looking at the timetables that is there, so that we can see about submitting what we're trying to do over the next few years in this particular area.
Absolutely. Yeah. Very good. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Mike.
Yep.
Thank you.
Is the space bar moving? If you just hit the space bar.
Oh, how about the arrow? All right. Speaking of water quality, this was, I think you guys have maybe seen this picture before, but this is phase one of our multi-phased Hickory Grove Lake Watershed Improvement Project. This one is now, I'm going to say, 99% complete. There's still a little bit of work that needs to happen. Still some fencing that needs to be put in place. But this is the stream that provides probably 75% of the water to Hickory Grove Lake. This is private property. We received state grants to do this work, and we had local partnerships, funding sources to do this as well. So what we've done is exclude the cattle from this stream, stabilize a severely eroded incised stream, and done some septic work in the watershed as well.
So yes, the market reported that we had 9 out of 9 that we could prove were in this watershed put in
9 out of 9. So our funders with this are exceptionally happy with the results. And like I said, we're not quite complete yet, but we've been invited to do some presentations on this at some professional water quality conferences. So
anecdotally, there's no question in my mind that this is going to improve the water quality at Hickory Grove.
Absolutely.
Do we have an empirical way to measure that?
We do, and we are measuring that.
What are we seeing so far? Anything?
Well, we haven't compiled that yet.
Okay.
But we know that, for example, we know that we're through some of this project we reduced sedimentation, and so you can empirically determine how much phosphorus you reduce from the lake by reducing X tonnage of sedimentation, because phosphorus is carried through sediment. We know that we can reduce X amount of bacteria to the lake with each septic system. We know that we can reduce X amount of bacteria to the lake with each cow that we fence from the river. or from the stream, etc. So we know that we can accomplish those things. I haven't sat down to do the math on it yet, but we know that we'll get that accomplished.
So is it accurate to say that Dakin's Lake is the cleanest or among the cleanest lakes in
Hickory?
No, I'm going to Dakin's first.
Okay.
Dakin's is a new lake, and it's either the cleanest or among the cleanest in the state of Iowa?
You know, it had the greatest clarity.
Okay, maybe that's what I read.
It had the clearest water due to a number of reasons. A, it's a new lake. B, we employed some of the similar wetlands that I showed with the research park. We employed that on a waterway that goes to Dakin's.
Right.
And we're catching that sedimentation before it gets to the lake. So yes. Although I can't quantitatively say that Dakin's is the cleanest water in the state, it is clearly, no pun intended, one of the clearest in the state.
Uh-huh. And so my point there is we've got a new one that I think is one of the best in the state. Now what I want to see on Hickory Grove is I want to see an existing one that's restored to being one of the cleanest in the state. I think that would put us in great stead if, in fact, yeah, we see those kind of numbers.
Yep. So that property that you just looked at is, let's see, this is a picture of Hickory Grove Lake. That property would be down about in this area here. It's not shown on this. But the water flows in from this direction. This is 680th, and then it flows into the main body here. It's the 100-acre lake. This particular diagram shows areas that we know we will dredge. We're working with DNR to develop a 4-year improvement project on the lake that ultimately ends in a drawdown and a dredge. So this illustrates some of those dredge areas. And then the next one here.
Has Hickory Grove ever been dredged before?
No, it hasn't. It was built in 69, 70, mm-hmm. And no, it has not been dredged. And then this shows some potential improvements here as well. We're looking at maybe adding a couple jetties on the south side. This area is really heavily used and be a nice fishing amenity to add those jetties. We need to do some dredging around the island. Ultimately, we'd like to consider kind of a causeway to connect the beach area out to the island. So that's what's represented here. This is an existing jetty, and so we're looking at extending that jetty. So, and then some significant work that's not really shown on this diagram, but shoreline work throughout. All the shoreline needs to be armored. We have some really significant shoreline erosion and gully erosion. Some of our main gully erosion areas are right up in here and over in here. So we're working on this from many angles, and like I said, it's going to be a multi-year project. Next slide here. Well, that's hard to read, isn't it? This illustrates. Can you read that?
Yes.
The top part. I mean.
The top part.
Yeah.
So this is each fiscal year. This is a preliminary plan that the DNR penciled. And it really shows how much is going to be committed from DNR and then theoretically how much would come from the county and other sources for each year. Total over here is about $1.8 million project. And from the county, and that's 1.8. Let's see if I can.
So 1.8 But 1.4 coming from DNR, is it, am I reading
1.4
right?
From DNR, yes. And then this is the fiscal year we're in. This is what we have budgeted already, 400 from DNR and 100 from us. Moving forward to FY18, we've got 250 from DNR, 250 carried through each year in the rest of the phases. And then they've penciled in 62 from the county for those 3 years right there, so FY18, 19, and 20. And then some grant sources right here of $35,000 each year for those. Brings you to a total of 1.8. And that would be enough to complete the project.
Yeah. Do everything you just showed us above, all the dredging.
Right.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I think Supervisor Sanders referring to your comment about restoring Eagle Grove Park, which for years has been our flagship park here in the county. Whether we're talking this board or future boards, this is a projection. This is a fiscal projection in terms over the next several years that it's going to take. You may recall that it's taken us a number of years even to get to this point where we've been able to identify funding, set funding aside. I really want to thank Mike and the Conservation Board for setting the priorities that this is an area that we next need to tackle and address. And I think one of the advantages for us, Marty, has been that the close working relationship. I believe it was around 2004, I believe, the Board of Supervisors became a very active participation with the Conservation Board. We are one of a few counties. There's only a few counties where the board has as close a working relationship with the Conservation Board. It has been a terrific opportunity for us to collaborate and to work together and to strategically plan for future developments in an area of outdoor recreation, quality of life initiatives, and so forth. So I'm hopeful that this will continue to be a priority as we move to the future in this area, whether it's this board or future boards and so forth. And I can't thank Mike and the Conservation Board again for their strategic planning. And I believe, Mike, didn't you talk about again that there will be an opportunity for the Conservation Board and the Board of Supervisors to sit down again as we are moving forward with our strategic plan to give that vision as to where we'd like to go?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Wayne, thank you. I mean, we've said that, and Marty, you brought this up, the lake is all original construction, all the facilities are original construction, and they're aged out,
yeah.
To be quite frank. We know we have failing infrastructure, we know we have a lake system that's just becoming less and less viable, and that's very evident. And so this is simply one part of moving forward with Hickory Grove. And yes, as we move forward, there will be many opportunities to set that direction between the Conservation Board and the supervisors. This particular one, just to use this as an example, $1.8 million project, and of which it's kind of penciled in that we might expect 350 to be requested from the county in that 1.8.
Well, see, I'm a huge fan that when you have an identified need and you can find a way to do the project from which the county reaps 100% of the benefit, but the county only has to kick in 20% of the dollars necessary to do it, okay, that makes a lot of sense to me.
This park has an annual economic impact estimated about $6.5 million. And when you start to look at numbers like this, that gives a good perspective, if you will, for how much benefit this park is providing the community versus what it costs us for some of these improvements. We get about 70,000 people a year that visit it. We cannot keep up with camping there. We've added Dakins, and that's helped. But we cannot keep up with camping demand. That's on the horizon as well, expanded camping and cabins, et cetera. So we really feel that we want to get the water quality addressed. When we get the water quality addressed, the lake addressed, we need to start working on some other infrastructure, which I'll talk about next, and then we're well on our way to really revitalizing that area, really making it a flagship again that it once was.
Wayne gives us the historic perspective that, you know, I realize now that you see, as you see things happen now within the county, that the fact that Story County supervisors put an active role into seeing these amenities both, you know, sustained and improved. My short time here, Mike and I were just on a conference call here trying to set up a meeting on a trail system here right before the meeting started today, and we were hoping to have some luck on that one. Been listening to some things happen here as the research park comes to be, and we say that is going to be putting the most touch on the people within the county to make it what it will become. I'm assuming it will displace Hickory Park then on a numbers basis, correct? Hickory Grove. The research park, as we sit here and say, the numbers of the contact of the Story County residents, the research park, when it comes to fruition, and it's...
we'll have more than 70,000 visitors.
We'll have more visitors there, but however, the camping, right, the fishing, and other types of things, the outdoor aspect of that, will not be part of the research.
No, and I get that, but I'm just saying, it's just like, are there any numbers? I mean, when you sit there and say it's really kind of expanded, grown, and you can't keep up, I mean, are you tracking visitorship there at all?
We, very roughly, we're tracking through the campground usage, but that's the only metric we have right now to track it. And yes, I want to be very clear that we expect a very high usage at the research park and a continued high and a growing usage here at Hickory Grove. Those are different demographics. I mean, they're just some of the same people, but largely those are different demographics.
And different usage patterns, right? So Hickory Grove is a very intensive usage. You're going to be out there for hours and hours and hours, and the research park, if it's done right, we're going to see more people, but it's going to be for really short periods of time that we're going to provide touch them.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
You had made mention, Rick had spoken to it, of a 9 of 9. What is that?
The septic system. Hickory Grove Lake watershed, 4,000 acre watershed. In that, we know that, and I'm backing up, some of you are well aware of this, but we had, we know we had a septic connection to the lake out of that watershed. And so we received some state funding to replace watersheds and local funding to replace, septic systems in that watershed. We had 9 unpermitted systems in that 4,000 acre watershed. Mm-hmm. Unpermitted. They were the only way to compel inspection and replacement is at time of transfer. So we've got old farmhouses that they've never gone through a title transfer. Those are hence unpermitted systems. You know, our practice has always been that back in the day to drain to tiles, etc. Well, we know we had a connection.
We proved it on those 9, right? We did it through dye. We proved that we had a connection.
We tested around the lake, and we isolated optical brighteners around the lake.
Okay.
Optical brighteners are used in laundry detergents. And so therefore, we know we had at least a gray water connection to the lake. So that's how we know. We never actually did the dye test.
Okay.
We stood on the science we knew with the optical brighteners, and so that's why we were successful in getting those grants to replace the septic systems. All of those have been done now, and so really it's just been a huge success in getting.
Yeah, so we had state grants. The county put local dollars into it, and what we offered those 9 is, we'll take 50% of the cost for a new septic system for you, and all 9 took advantage.
And then the Soil and Water Conservation District was a partner in that as well. Funding.
Sitting and looking back at some, I know that there had been a confinement operation and moved into the area, and looking at the numbers that were offered up, and you sat there and you just told me that you had improvements on private septic systems and everything. And the data I was looking at here, it was some years back. I mean, have you had anything that would reflect more what the conditions are as of today? I mean, when you sit there and show me what you've done on the embankment, you know, mitigation, and you regale us all the improvements you made, I mean, on a water quality basis, what would somebody see today as opposed to what was in the recently measured?
I can just anecdotally tell you, we are doing bacteria testing weekly in the lake. And I can just give you some anecdotal numbers. I was going over some last night. And we've had one exceedance in E. coli thus far this summer.
What was historically the case?
And there's the state sets a standard, and so we've exceeded that standard one time this year. Thus far, our average is our average E. coli count is well below the previous years dating back to 2009 when we started this. So last year at this time we had three exceedances, and last year was better than the year before. So we are getting there. Knock on wood, the summer's not over yet, but we are getting there, and we are having some positive impact, measurable positive impact with what we're doing.
I would assume with the high volume rains that you've had, you really are acid testing what you've done, and the fact they would move more.
Correct.
So I would think this has not been a dry year, and we're at or above rainfall, so I would have to say that you just told me a good story.
Yep, absolutely. Next to Hickory Grove, we budgeted for replacing the original shower house. This is the aerial image of the layout of the new shower building and where it would sit in relation to the campground. It's actually not going to quite be oriented in this manner, but it's going to sit in this location. And this is what it's going to look like. It will be a storm shelter and shower building all in one. This is a floor plan here. These are, these are either the men's or women's, and this is the other one. And then these are family showers here. And so those are really, really popular. People want those kind of family showers. And so that's what those will be. Over here we've got additional family showers here, and this is just the mechanical room. This is the main kind of interior causeway here, lobby space, if you will, right here. And that's where most of the numbers for the storm storm shelter come from, as far as the capacity to get people. This will serve about 180 people in a storm incident, and that's what it'll be rated for. So a combination between using this main area and then using all of these restrooms as well for that as a storm shelter. This exterior wall, essentially, this creates just an envelope that'll protect that, protect the building. The theory is that you could drop a vehicle out of the sky on this thing and it's not going to go through the roof. Mm-hmm. So it'll be a nice addition to the park, whereas right now we really don't have anything to offer visitors as far as storm protection other than the basement of the residence, which is there. So this will be a tremendous addition. Let's see, moving on. We're working on acquisition of two other parcels. One is what we call the Jordan Family Wildlife Area. This is the Skunk River. I don't have a kind of a context map here, but Ames is, I'm going to say, a mile and a half north of this. We do have a canoe access point currently on the river right here. This is 265th Street right here. The interstate is over here. So we're working with Iowa Natural Heritage Foundation, who has bought this property. with the Story County Pheasants Forever, with ISU chapter of Pheasants Forever, and the Outdoor Alliance of Story County on fundraising for purchase of this property from the Natural Heritage Foundation. We just received a state grant, habitat stamp grant, to go toward purchase, and that was a little over $300,000 for that grant. So to date, we need about another $40,000 to make that project whole. So we're moving forward nicely with that. We have an open house scheduled for September 18th, and we'll give some tours of the property. One thing I want to note here: this is 175 acres on this property. All of the restoration is paid for right now. We were able to receive some EQIP grants and an IHAP program grant to do all of the restoration. And I don't have a restoration map here, but the river, before it was straightened and channelized, believe it or not, this used to be straight right here. Before it was channelized and moved over, it went through this area right here. And so all the old river channels are on the property here. The old meanders, etc., they're quite evident there. We will be restoring some of those to oxbow-type conditions and doing lots of habitat work, doing prairie work, etc. This will be a hunting area as well as just a non-consumptive use or passive use area. So very excited about that. The EQIP grant that we got was $180,000 for restoration. That's, I think, arguably the largest EQIP grant that's ever been given in the state. So that's significant. And the restoration is on schedule to happen over the next 2 years.
Total cost of the project for Jordan?
$800,000.
And you say you're $40,000 short as we sit here today?
Correct.
Do you expect a request coming before this body at any point in the future?
I would say within the next year, yes. It's going to be pretty minimal, kind of looking at maybe $20,000.
So possibly part of budget conversations as we look at FY18.
Yep.
Okay. I think it's impressive that an $800,000 project, you've been able to secure all the funding except for
$40,000. Right. It just goes to show the level of commitment in the community and the interest in the community to set areas like this aside that have both the recreational value, habitat value, resource value, and frankly, a water quality, strong water quality component as well. So,
I'm going to editorialize right here. I believe that if you draw a line out far enough, that Story County will, through easement or direct property ownership, control the ground along the Skunk River. I just think it's a water quality issue. I'm drawing a really, really long timeline to get there, but I think pieces like this you start to put together, and all of a sudden you can see how this puzzle would come all the way together. You mentioned earlier the possibility of a trail running along the Skunk River, and I know this piece doesn't directly factor into that, but all of that comes together to say these kind of projects make a lot of sense when you look out far enough.
Right, absolutely. And just since we started this project, I don't have property boundaries here, but this project includes this 40-acre field here. It does not include this field here, but it does include these two smaller fields right here in this tree area. This field here has, since we started this project, now been enrolled in the state's IHAP program, which is a public hunting on private land, essentially, and the state comes in and funds land restorations, habitat improvements for public hunting. This person's already interested in not being the owner of this anymore. And then I'm going to say in roughly about in the 1 mile radius, excuse me, there's about, all said and done, 500 acres, give or take, that have gone into habitat projects this year. So they've gone out of row crop or out of production into habitat.
Mm-hmm. And just to point out, this is not very far south from the Manats
pit that is right there at the corner of 30 and 35.
Question, Mike, are you able to comment at all regarding the role that the CIP has played in the conservation initiative and strategic planning as we try to move forward? How would you comment regarding, that the role that conservation is playing along with our CIP?
You know, that's a good question. We've spent the last several years kind of defining our goals and defining our future, and it seems like now we've got those pieces in play, and we've got that work done through the Conservation Board strategic plan, through the county strategic plan, the C2C, etc. We've got that done, and we've got a county C2C plan, a comprehensive plan that is unmatched as far as its conservation involvement, its resource, its recognition of resource concerns, unmatched by other counties. And so that's critical. And now it feels like we've really got some of the blueprints in front of us, and now it's time to start leveraging money, see where we can get support to move forward with those. And I think thus far we've been pretty successful. I think it demonstrated that the community wants those services, whether they be public hunting areas, whether they be water quality improvements, whether they be recreational trails, etc. And they are all of those, and more so. And so, yeah, I think we do have that legwork done, and I think it puts us in a very good position to go out there and find funds to do those projects.
Thank you. Before we leave this, I was actually thinking of something you've been saying, but you had touched on that 500 acres in the area around Jordan. And you said they were improving how?
Some of that is in CRP contracts now, newly enrolled CRP contracts, and some of that is in IHAP program.
Okay.
So just between those two programs, that accounts for about that 500 acres, right around the 175 that we're looking at.
Right, but the 175 is an anchor piece, right? That is the domino that we're setting up that triggers the rest of this.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
I think what's happened is I think that it's that domino piece because of people are starting to realize, well, maybe there's a higher and better use for this property than row crop right in the floodplain. We all know how often that river floods, and it seems like it's getting more so. So it's hard to farm.
Okay.
Next parcel that I want to chat about is a 50-acre piece, and this is Carroll Prairie. And this was, both of these were bargain sales, I should say, from the owner to Iowa Natural Heritage Foundation. And the Heritage Foundation has the intention of donating this one to the county as well. This is just north of Nevada. If you're familiar with where, it's in your neighborhood, Marty. It was owned by Lorna Selberg.
Oh, okay.
And so she did a tremendous bargain sale to Natural Heritage Foundation. It's got, like I said, it's about a 50-acre piece. It's got a remnant native prairies on it, and so that's of particular interest to us. And it's got several of those. I know it's hard to see on this little inset map, property line map, but tremendous property, and it was one of those kind of opportunity properties for the Natural Heritage Foundation, and so they just moved forward on it, and again with the intent of then donating it back to the county as soon as they get the money raised to pay off the loan on it.
And so then, if it's donated to the county, what would our intent be? Would we restore the whole thing to native prairie?
It primarily is.
Okay.
It would take quite a bit of, we put prairie there, put it that way. And so we try to, we'd go in, we'd do some enhancements on the areas that aren't remnants. On the remnant areas, we'd do some TLC on management. But we would keep it as a prairie area. There's very few trees on the site. The creek there runs through it. The previous owner, Orna, has some requests for the site, and essentially those are easy things that the Conservation Board will consider, and that is to make it a public hunting area and to make it to restrict lead shot there, so it'd be a steel shot only hunting area. But really, that's it. And with that, we gave the previous owner the naming rights on it, so that Carol was her maiden name, and so in memory of her father, that's the genesis of the name. So another great project. Let's see, this year we were able to get a AmeriCorps NCCC group, and don't ask me to say what the NCCC stands for. National Civilian Conservation Corps, I don't know. At any rate, we're able to get the crew. This is a in-residence crew. They started in July and finish up in September. So they had their term cut a little bit short by some disasters that they needed to respond to at the beginning of their term. But they've been very pleased with their work so far, and the NCCC has been very pleased with their project as well. So it's eight youth that come here, and we're housing them in one of those residences at the research park. And then they're working full-time for us. They've been pulling fence at that Jordan area. They've been sorting seed and collecting hand-harvest prairie seed. They've been doing all kinds of work for us. They've been doing some trail work for us. It's just a number of things that they're doing. Tremendous. Our only expense really is their housing. So we look forward to hopefully utilizing them in the future.
That's outstanding.
Outstanding opportunity.
And that's one of the two houses that we've acquired on the Research Park property.
Yep.
Do we have any thoughts yet on what happens with the second house that we've acquired?
No, I mean, I think it's a residence.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of other uses for it. I think it will be a residence. I'm not sure. The Conservation Board really hasn't discussed it too much yet. Lastly, I want to mention is our education program, and last but certainly not least, that you read the, I don't know, Austin's probably familiar with the article that was in the paper, what was it, last Friday maybe, Thursday, Friday, on Zombie Camp. I tell you, we've got a tremendous group of educators, and they are so creative. And of course, we all know the kind of the social buzz around zombies nowadays. And so our naturalists decided, well, how can we use that to teach outdoor skills, to teach survival skills, teach tracking, teach all kinds of things. They even did this to teach orienteering. You see them looking at the map here and on their hunt for where the zombies are. And I tell you, it was incredible. It was an overnight camp, and tremendous reviews. It was a lot of fun.
That's good.
So, of course, their backstory. Their backstory was that Director Cox was the original zombie, and affected all of the other zombies. And so, their whole time they were hunting for the Cox zombie.
You didn't have to put on a costume, man.
No, but he did show up that night, and it was interesting. So, at any rate, our education program, with the start of the school year here, we're getting ready to start our scheduling, I think you're all aware, but we work with all the school districts in the county, and we're having teacher meetings coming up very soon to go over to get all of our programming scheduled for the year. We also received a grant to do some pollinator plots or pollinator gardens. We received a kind of a pilot grant to do it at the Nevada Multi-Age School, and since then we received a REAP CEP grant to do them at two other schools. So we'll be doing that this fall also, getting those pollinator gardens into the schools. Continuing to work on the standards, updating our programs to the new Iowa Core standards, and so we're moving forward with that. It's really showing us some where we need to change some programs. Let's say a program that we were offering for, you know, one grade, that now the standards change, we have to start offering that or a similar program for a different grade. We're going through all of that right now. So. And that's enough for me. I'll leave it at that. So if you have any questions.
Question for Mike.
Yep, just a great job again, and thank you for all you do. It's just exciting.
Enjoyed working with you, Mike. I tell you what, that's one of my short time here. I have found that the conservation people quiet, and they do a great deal behind the scenes that's not always seen. But I think they're well led, and I appreciate the time I've had spent on it.
Something I just want to underscore that Wayne mentioned and I think Mike also alluded to, there aren't other counties that have the kind of working relationship between the Board of Supervisors and the Conservation Board that Story County has. And for anybody who is a supervisor or wants to be a supervisor, I would just encourage them to rethink through how important that symbiotic relationship is and how much it benefits the citizens of Story County that we have that kind of relationship. Thanks, Mike.
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you. Thanks.
Other reports, discussion, and direction regarding amendments to the Urban Renewal Plan. Leanne Hart. Leanne, if you're not talking about zombies, you're falling short. I think we need to have more zombie discussion.
I am. Sorry, I'm not a Walking Dead fan. Only one of the Harder household is not. Good morning.
Good morning.
This is before the board this morning. This follow-up to last week's meeting, following the schedule. Last week, the board gave staff some direction on some potential changes to the urban renewal plan, Story County Urban Renewal Area. What was on the agenda shows those potential changes, either through strikeouts or red font underlines, and exactly as directed last week. What I'm here for you with you to, this morning is to ask the question, what is missing or what is included that you would like to see removed, and then get direction to go ahead and get on the website and speak public input over the next couple weeks, or 3 weeks, and I'll be back on September 13th for official action. With that, I will answer any questions.
Just from prior history in this area, when we have come to this point in the process where we add additional projects, such as I noticed as you go down, you've got some additional wind towers that are going to be coming on board. We also have inserted the projects that is being presented for consideration for this year from my various communities and so forth. What historically has been the response from other entities, individuals, once we have gotten to this process?
There have been, on a continual basis, there have been individuals that have expressed disagreement with the county's approach to using the funding of the wind turbines and in the manner of tax increment financing. And with that, projects have followed the discussion of projects and appropriateness of those projects using that funding source has been questioned. Beyond that, there has been a great degree of support too for the projects, whether it's expressed by just members of the public or community representatives as well.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say, prior to the Research Park project, I don't remember us getting a lot of pushback on individual projects. Real general support for the projects we were doing
but you had that undercurrent of questioning, boy, they're great projects, but we don't like where the money's coming from for those projects, to which my answer has always been, okay, show me where the money, if the projects are good, show me where the money's going to come from. The research park has been a little different because we've got a very strong contingent that feels like the county doing something that has a perceived benefit for Ames is inappropriate. I clearly take the opposite stance. I think if it's good for Iowa State, if it's good for Ames, it's good for Story County and vice versa. That makes this one just a little bit different. A couple of things I wanted to point out here is our general obligation debt here in Story County. Constitutionally, we're allowed to carry almost $340 million in debt. Story County today in general obligation debt is $2.4 million. It's lower than it's been at any time since the Justice Center was built, Wayne.
Yes.
Even with the $1.5 million in TIF debt that we're assuming for the first phase of the research park, we're still only at $3.4 million. Now, that includes a $3.3 million project for Dakins Lake. We're only at $3.4 million in TIF debt, meaning we've already paid off about half of Dakins Lake debt. Again, I just go back to, if these projects have value, then show me where else we're going to secure funding than exactly how we're doing it.
So just to follow up on that, as Wayne suggested, or stated, the project, the new wind turbines are included in Section 2. So the new wind turbines, and then in section, the second half of Section 2 includes the five projects that apply for the five communities that apply for projects. And then that is repeated again under Section 5, additional projects. Section 6 addresses. Yes, I will. I thought it was.
It's on.
I meant the English I was speaking to. Section 6 addresses adding the new properties. New wind turbine properties, and then the county financial information, as the table found in Section 8, includes the funding of all five projects, and then Lisa always gives me the correct information for these tables.
Mm-hmm. So this includes everything. It doesn't mean that we're passing everything. It includes everything for us to talk all the way through, and final decision would come on the 13th, where anything could be pulled out of this.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But this includes everything we've talked about up to this point, including the Slater project, which I know you guys expressed some concerns because of the timing of when that was submitted. It includes all the wind turbines, the new ones added in here. Doesn't mean that's where we're going to end up. It means that will be part of the conversation. Lee, anything to add on that?
No.
What do you need other than direction? You just need direction board to put it out like this with everything. Got any objection to that?
No, I have comfort in it.
No. Nope.
So directed.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Let's see. That gives us to public forum number two. Opportunities for members of the public to comment on items that are not on today's agenda. Or if you want to mention something that was on today's agenda, that's fine too. We're not going to take any further action because of the requirements of the open meetings law, but we might do so in the future. Anybody wishing to address us on anything? Yeah, come on. I heard you sigh. I figured you had something you wanted to share with us.
Actually, it wasn't about that.
Oh, okay.
No. Okay. I wanted to reaffirm my talk.
Start by introducing yourself again, Laura.
Doris Olson, 1705 Buchanan Avenue. And I really appreciated the update that Mike gave today. I just wanted to share, when you were discussing Hickory Grove, that this summer I had the opportunity to enjoy Hickory Grove, went swimming there several times, precipitated by Furman closing, and I got to access a new part of Story County for me. And I was just really impressed with how clean it was, when the snack thing was open, how well run it was. I saw the Rangers there, but they were interacting. And when we went on weekends or late in the day after 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it was just packed with families.
Uh-huh.
So I'm appreciative of that, and I'm going to throw that in. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Absolutely. And just to go loop back, I appreciate Morris's comments. $1.8 million that we need to spend in order to do some modernization and bring that park up. I know that I was built in the 60s, and I'm showing wear and tear. I'm sure the park is as well. But I like the idea of 1.8 where the county only has to kick in 20% of that.
Right.
I think that is a mark of great management. Thanks, Doris. Anything else for us today? Anybody else wishing to address the board on anything? Liaison assignments, Wayne.
Pass on liaison.
Martin.
None.
So I'll just mention the Board of Health. I told the Board of Health that it was my intention that last Board of Health meeting, as we well remember, Paul Toot was our liaison to the Board of Health. I filled in for the time being. Wayne, my schedule's packed. I really believe that needs to be my last Board of Health, and so I'm going to ask us to bring forward relatively soon that we change that appointment to Marty Chitty serving on the Board of Health, and hopefully you'll be supportive of that. That'll be on a future agenda.
Okay.
Nothing else for me. Announcements, Wayne.
Past Thursday and Friday, I attended the Iowa State Association of Counties Executive Board, Supervisor Executive Board retreat. At that retreat, it's our annual opportunity to put together our fall school agenda, which we were able to finalize, which will be held November 30th, Friday through December 2nd, at Veterans Memorial Community Charge Credit Union. We also approved the agenda for the new officer school on January 18th and Thursday, January 19th, which will be at the Holiday Inn Airport. And we move forward with our statewide supervisors meeting, which is Thursday, February 2nd. We at least identified the topics. I'm doing some outreach. I'm real thrilled that a couple of people from Story County have been asked to play a key role in our statewide supervisors meeting. One, our emergency management coordinator, Keith Morgan, will actually be helping to coordinate and talking about continuity of Operation KUCOG and several other aspects of that. He will certainly do a great job. We've also reached out to David, former Treasurer David Jameson, with the Iowa Finance Authority. He confirmed as of yesterday that he will be excited about presenting opportunities that the Iowa Finance Authority has in working with Iowa counties. And through a contact and a recommendation, I brought up Chuck Long as a potential speaker, former University of Iowa star, and we won't even talk about his pro career, but head of the Iowa Games and Iowa Wellbeing. I put a phone call in to him yesterday. I'm waiting to hear back whether he will be confirmed as a speaker for us. And then, Mike, Joe Quaker, I need to contact him. There was a discussion about weeds. Some counties are really having problems with roadside vegetation and weeds. Unfortunately, I opened my mouth. I was supposed to be quiet, and I talked about the great program we have in Story County. And so we're hoping that Joe Quaker and another...
Joe Quaker's an acquired taste. Are you sure we want to send him out?
Weed commissioner from another county might collaborate and work together. So I need to get in touch with Joe to see of his availability. But I'd have to tell him. We'd have to tame him down just a little bit if he agrees to do that.
No caffeine for Joe on that one.
But, you know, for me personally to recognize the outstanding services and work that our county staff does that is recognized statewide as well. When we mention these programs, people from other counties are saying, hey, we'd like to hear them speak and share some of their involvement, and this will be in February. So, again, Mike, kudos. And it was interesting, a lot of the weedside commissioners in a lot of places are more tied directly to the secondary roads group rather than conservation. And I was able to talk about, you know, even though ours is housed in that particular area, he plays a much more connected role with the conservation
area, and that was of interest as well. So just being able to talk about some of the uniqueness of how we structure and work in this particular area, and they're also concerned about the type of herbicides and different types of things that are happening because they're not having the level of success that we're having. So I wanted to, I'm hopeful that Bo Chuck Long and from our area and Joe can help be a part of that February area. And again, we don't always have 100% of all the supervisors, but anytime we have Story County people present, I would hope that either future supervisors or whoever the situation would be, that we would have a group of us in attendance for that statewide meeting.
And it's important, and Wayne, I want to underscore how much the board, but I personally appreciate and value that you take on this role for the board in representing Story County to ISAC. I know it's not something that I particularly enjoy. I like to stay within Story County and worry about what's going on within Story County, and you free me up to do that by representing us so well with ISAC. So thank you. Announcements, Marty.
Several. We have the opportunity, as the board has been extended, the invitation to go to NAMI tonight. Welcome, Lisa Hedden. And it'll be at 7. Uh-huh. Mike Cox and I are attempting to lock down a trail finalization through the city of Zering. We hope to have success in the near term. And we've got a few other irons in the fire we'll be talking about later.
Outstanding.
Okay.
Good. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Adjourn.
I'm going
to leave it. Well, that's kind of how it sounded to me.
Yeah, absolutely.